skies proclaim, God, you reign. Your glory shines. You teach the sun when to bring a new day. Creation sings, God, you
time invite the ushers come forward as we take this morning's offering, which is for the Pastoral Support Fund. There's also the MyCoins count for the kids.
My foes are men. They rise against me, but I will hold my ground. I will not fear the war, I will not fear the storm, my help is on the way.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you do reign today, tomorrow, and forever. We thank you for your presence here as we seek to honor and worship you. And Father, today we thank you for your blessings, and we offer back a portion to you to do the work of the church and for the pastor support fund to help pay for the support for those who are the equipper of the saints. Lord, help us to remember that the pastors are not here to do the work for us, but to be with us, to guide us, to help us to be your hands and feet in this world, to minister to those who need that help. And Father, we thank you and praise you for this time again that we can gather together corporately and worship and praise you. We lift you up in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Sin not in blood, but the whole.
worship together this morning. Thank you for who you are and what you've done for us, and that no matter what storms or trials we face, you are with us and our hope is in you alone. I pray that you would be with Brian as he brings his sermon this morning, and that you would just open our ears and open our hearts to hear and accept what you have for us this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Clark Brubacher, and I'm the president of the youth group here at Bowmansville. Since I last spoke to you, the youth group has been busy fundraising for our summer service project in Alaska, which is now just 40 days away. The youth group mission statement is nurturing tomorrow's church through fellowship with each other, serving others, and studying God's word. Our goal each month is to fellowship with each other, serve others, and study God's word. In April, we had Bible studies on the first and third Wednesday of the month, which we do normally, and that fulfills studying God's word. We also had Guy Girl Weekend, where we fellowshiped with each other. In April, we didn't accomplish our goal, but we had a huge month of May, where we did yard work for members of our congregation, as well as having our Bible studies. We fellowshiped together by having a fish fry, as well as having committee meetings to plan stuff. We held a yard sale here at church, which is helping fund our Alaska trip, which is coming upon us very quickly. We accomplished our goal in May of fulfilling our mission statement. So far in June, we've had one of our Bible studies. We have our second Bible study scheduled, as well as a graduation party. In March, I ask you to pray for our upcoming summer service project to Sutton, Alaska. I would ask that you continue to pray for our trip, as there have been some unexpected costs and challenges along the way. Thank you.
Well, welcome, everybody. This morning it's Youth Sunday, and this is a time for our children's message, so if you consider yourself interested in the children's message, you can come front and have a seat. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, wow, great. There's a pile of yous. Look, they're making a spot for you right there. There you go. All right, so when I was you guys' age, I had to memorize a poem in school. And it went something like this. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. And then, no, not even a mouse. But then there's something about hanging some stockings and some... Something was dancing in their dreams, like a sugar plum. I don't even know what a sugar plum is. But I forget the poem. I don't remember it exactly. But that teacher that I had that had us memorize that was really big on memorization. He liked us to memorize things. Any ideas why? Why do you think he had us memorize things? When you memorize things, it's like working out. It's like working out your mind, right? It's like jogging or lifting weights or whatever, but your brain's doing it. Makes your brain stronger and able to remember things better. I think that's why I did it. So, he really liked memorization. Is there anything that any of you guys have memorized?
No.
You memorized something? What'd you memorize? Not the whole Bible, but Bible verses. Great. What did you memorize? Yeah, right. Yeah, they're easy to forget. What did you memorize?
I memorized Daddy and Mommy.
Dad and Mom, yep. All right. So, would anybody be brave enough to say something that they memorized? Just a little something.
I like it.
You like memorizing? Okay. How about, did anybody ever memorize the states and their capitals? Does anybody know any capitals of any state? How about the capital of Pennsylvania? Does anybody know that?
No.
Harrisburg, that's right. How about times tables? Did anybody memorize times tables? Do you know what 3 times 5 is 15. All right, and I could probably say anything and you'd know it, right? What grade are you in? Going into fifth. So when did you learn to memorize your times tables?
Third
grade. All right. Yeah, that's when I did it too, I think, if I remember right. So that was a long time ago, though. So I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 to 17. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'd be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes with the good news that you will be fully, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith and to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on the salvation that is your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So it says, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. The word of God is the Bible, right? So you're supposed to take that and use it. And how can you use the Bible? I can't really take the Bible with me everywhere I go. I mean, I guess I could take it, but if I'm at work trying to hammer a nail with one hand and reading the Bible with the other hand, that's not really going to work, is it? So it's good. Yeah, I might hammer my finger if I try to do that. Yeah, so it's good to memorize. It's like you said, it's good to memorize the Bible. Or if you don't memorize the Bible, at least you got to know what the Bible says, right? So that you can take it with you everywhere you go. So you guys have been good listeners this morning. And next time that you have to memorize something in school that you think is dumb, like, why am I memorizing this dumb poem? Remember, it's not necessarily about memorizing the poem. It's about working out your brain so that you can remember important things like times tables and states and roads and the Bible, right? And math questions. Right. So you guys can stop by Clark here and you can grab up some peach rings on your way back to your parents. You're dismissed to go back to your parents. So while they're going back, I want to bring your attention to this poster. Says prayer partners. Everybody on here on this side is somebody involved with the youth group who's going to Alaska. All right, there's 25 of us. And then there's a line beside each name. And if you had it on your mind that you wanted to pray for Connor Dowtrick, you can sign up right beside him and you can pray for him specifically about the trip, or you can talk to him and pray for whatever he wants you to pray for. And if someone else already signed up, plenty of room over here. More than one person can pray for somebody. No problem. So I'm going to hang this up somewhere out in the coat room behind me. I'm not exactly sure where yet. Somewhere where you'll see it. And we'd be glad to have you sign up over the next few weeks. So June is graduation time. And I'd like to draw your attention to a few graduates here. First of all, we have two that I'm aware of graduating from post-high school stuff. Dixie Becker got her master's in education at Albright College. Congratulations to Dixie. And Brian Horst graduated from the STEP program. Congratulations to Brian. And then we have four high school graduates. We have Amanda Hoover. They all graduated from Garden Spot. So we have Amanda Hoover. She'll be going on to Lancaster Bible College to study criminal justice. Hannah Whitmer. Hannah is going to be a golden wolf, right? I know that where she's going starts with an A, but I always forget where it is. But I got it written down here. So Alvernia. She's going to Alvernia, and she's going to study about physical therapy. Nicole Ringler. Graduated from Garden Spot, too, and I got a picture. Whenever Nicole and I text each other, a picture comes up in my phone where it's a picture of Nicole sitting in a chair holding, I think it's Tanner, holding a when he was a little baby. And that's a perfect picture to remind me of Nicole. She's always around children, and she's going to be working as a toddler assistant at Kinderhouse. And Lastly, we have Joel Martin. He graduated from Garden Spot this last year. He's been working at New Holland Church Furniture through the day, and he's going to continue his career there at New Holland Church Furniture. So, Miles, I have one slide. Would you put that slide up? So, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. You can see the name there, John Kruk. How many of you, if the name wouldn't be on there, how many of you would know who that is? Yeah, okay. There's a pile of you. So, can anybody, it says, I ain't an athlete, lady. And then dot, 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 dot. I bet you some of you can finish the quote. Can anybody finish the quote? If you can, shout it out. That's right. I ain't an athlete, lady. I'm a baseball player. That's right. So John Kruk, that's kind of a famous quote that he had. I guess he was being interviewed at some point by somebody who thought he was an athlete, and he corrected him. So anyway, he wasn't really known for his peak physical condition, and he kind of played that up for fun. In fact, it says, my well-rounded life and times. I think he was a well-rounded ball player. So now he kind of played that aspect of his career up, but the truth is, baseball really does require some very specific skills, and John Kruk really did have it where it counted. In fact, I think he was successful over his career. I don't know what his batting average was, but probably 3 out of 10 times. And I've heard it said, if you're successful hitting 3 out of 10 times, you're bound for the Hall of Fame. So it seems like you shouldn't be if you're only successful 3 out of 10 times. But it's a very difficult thing that takes a very specific set of skills. And if you want to know more about developing those skills, you can ask any of the ball players here at church. We got a handful of them. Clark's sitting here. Three of the four high school graduates that I mentioned played ball. I can't speak for the girls, but I know Joel, when they had to spend time developing their baseball skills in the off season, in the wintertime, that was the in season for wrestling, boys basketball, and girls basketball, and those activities took up the gym space after school. So they would have to go into school early in the morning, and I'm sure Hannah and Amanda experienced this as well. But you have to go into school early in the morning when the gym is available to develop those very specific skills that you need for baseball. Baseball is different from most sports. Most sports involve a net or a goal or a hoop or at least a line that you got to get the ball across, and that's how you score. Well, baseball is very different. And in those other sports, it requires stamina. So your training can kind of be cross-training, you know. As long as you're out doing aerobic type of training, you're going to be in good shape for those other sports. But baseball is kind of a different thing. The skills that you learn are very specific. So in baseball, we see that there's very specific skills that you need to develop. But we also must be disciplined in spiritual fitness in order to see the result that is desirable in our lives. So I use the word discipline there. You guys know what I mean when I say discipline? Discipline means to do the right thing, even when it takes a little bit extra effort to do so. I'll tell you a story about discipline. The other Wednesday, I think it was, my brother Kelly and me worked together. And we went the long way to the job, so we'd go past a donut shop. And we got a box of donuts, and we ate some. And I think we stopped one off. We went past my house, and we stopped one off. Renee was home. We stopped one off for her. And we got to the job, and the donuts weren't all gone yet. So we set them in their box between the seats in my van on the floor, went out and did our work for the day. And when we came back, the donuts were looking at me through the cellophane on the top of the box. And now, my brother Kelly and me, we fight like brothers, but I was trying to be a nice guy, and I said, hey, you want that donut? And he said, yes, I want that donut, but I'm not going to eat it. And what he was doing, he's kind of rubbing it in my face that he has the discipline to resist a donut, because he knew that I didn't, and he was right. I ate the donut. But I let him know that, you know, you may have the discipline to resist that one donut, but what I really wanted was three donuts, and I resisted two donuts. So, as you can see, I have more discipline than you, because I resisted eating two donuts, and you only resisted eating one. So, that's not really a good example of discipline. But you get what I'm saying. It's doing the right thing, even when it takes a little extra effort to do so. That's discipline. So, eating healthy, exercise, fresh air, sunlight, sometimes medications or supplements, are all things that we need to stay physically fit, and not eating too many donuts, to stay physically fit. Now, I mentioned spiritual fitness a minute ago. So, let's take a look at some things that will help us stay spiritually fit. First of all, I want to talk about meditating on the Word of God, or knowing your Bible, like we talked about in the children's message. You've got to know your Bible. If you're like me, reading doesn't go very good. I'll sit down with a book, and I'll open it up and start reading, and I find myself a paragraph or two or a page or two into the book. I have no idea what I read. It's just words on a page. I don't know if that happens to you guys or not, but I'm sure that many of you have spent several hours with your eyes looking at words in the Bible, and maybe you didn't really understand what it meant. So I said meditating on the Word of God. So if you find yourself in the situation that I'm in when it comes to reading, here's something you can try. School just left out for most of us. But pretend you're back in school. Most of you, I'm not in school anymore. But you can pretend you're back in school, and your task is to read whatever you're reading, read a page or two or a paragraph or two, and then you got to go back and give a report. You can just give it to yourself on what you read, right? But that's what it is to meditate on the Bible. Read it, and then stop for a minute and think about what you read. That'll help you to meditate on the Bible rather than just go through the motions of reading and maybe not really knowing what you read. Ephesians 6:17, I read it to the children this morning, refers to the Word of God as a sword. I think of a sword as an offensive weapon, but it's actually, if you ever watch somebody use a sword, it's actually a pretty good defensive weapon too. It's a very versatile weapon. Knowing how to wield the Word of God is an essential discipline in spiritual fitness. Knowing the Word of God, that's one way to be spiritually fit. How else can we be spiritually fit? Fellowship with each other. Hebrews 3:13 in the ESV says, "But exhort one another every day while it's still called today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God." The kind of fellowship that is mentioned there is a discipline that we need, and it involves exhortation, not extortion, exhorting. So, exhorting, to exhort something. I've heard that word before, but I'm not sure I know exactly what it means. Exhortation. I have it on my telephone here. Exhortation. Exhort. It means to strongly encourage or to urge someone to do the right thing. "Come on, you guys," exhorted Linda. To urge somebody, to strongly urge somebody. In the context of what I just read there in Hebrews 3:13, exhortation means to urge each other to confess our sins. And we can do that when we're comfortable fellowshipping with each other. Laying down our pride and allowing Jesus to pay the bill is not always something that comes easily, but it is readily available for all of us. But the clock is ticking. We got to do it. Unconfessed sin is like footprints in wet concrete. I poured a lot of concrete over the years. And sometimes it's happened already when we're pouring concrete in an area where there's a lot of people. We'll pour the concrete and turn around to do something, wash up your tools or take a breather or whatever. And you look back and there's tracks in the concrete. That's not really a problem. It takes like, I don't know, a few seconds to take a tool and jiggle around at the concrete a little bit when it's still wet, and you can cover the tracks and no one will ever know that they were there. But if you wait too long, if you decide you're going to take a longer breather, maybe eat some donuts, or talk to somebody, you get caught up doing this or that, and you don't address those footprints right away, which can be a pretty short period of time sometimes if it's hot and sunny out, they become what we call permanent fossils in the concrete. And they're never going to go away. For the life of the concrete, they're going to be there. Our adversary wants us to think we're going to live forever, but the truth is, we don't know when our clocks are going to stop ticking. That's why these close relationships where we can urge each other to confess our sins and confess our need for Christ while it's still today is so important. So we have knowing the Bible, fellowshipping with each other, and the last discipline that I want to talk about that we need to be spiritually fit is that our aim needs to be true. We need to point our guns in the right direction. Ephesians 6:12 says this: "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." Our battle is not against flesh and blood. We need to point our guns in the right direction. The person with a different opinion than you on politics or religion or gay stuff or gun laws, abortion laws, COVID stuff, that person is still a person. Therefore, they're flesh and blood. And according to Ephesians 6:12, they are not the enemy. We need to stop shooting at them. In the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there's an example of the church needing to separate itself from sin. Striving to keep the church pure is biblical and a right and biblical concept, but the world isn't the church. All too often, I see Christians who shoot first and ask questions later, and then we pridefully gather in groups and pat each other on the back as the damage is already done. We need to aim true, and we need to know who our enemy is and who it isn't. And that's who we need to shoot. So the three things that you need to remember to be spiritually fit is know the Word of God, establish good relationships with each other, and aim true. So discipline yourself in these three ways, and you'll be on a good path to spiritual fitness. All right, let's pray. God, I just thank you for who you are and for Jesus and what he did for us. And I just pray that you're with us as we move through the coming weeks and days, spiritually exercising our minds and bodies. And I just thank you for this beautiful weather that we're having in this day to day, that maybe we can get out and do some fellowship with each other today. In Jesus' name, amen. Bowing here.
teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I follow you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I follow you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
I think Rick has an announcement for us, and then I have a few announcements. So come on up, Rick.
Good. I just want to say, Brian, last weekend was a community family fun day, and my Rice Krispie squares that were covered in paper towel went over great. Just kidding. What I want to share is about the community family fun day that Flowing Waters did, and obviously you guys helped us last weekend at Bonesville Park. I want to share some things that happened out of there so you can understand that there is fruit being made in the community. I also, before I read this, I just thank you for everybody that had helped us out. There was a bunch of you, and I'm not going to name the names, but I appreciate all the help. So first of all, the ladies that were making the food and handing it out, I told them to write down what was said so that I don't have to try and come up with it. So this is what they told me. A man asked me, why are you doing this giving free food? I said, we are doing this in the name of Jesus. He said, that is wonderful. He said, with the economy the way it is, we need to do more things like this, and this is such a wonderful thing for families to enjoy, because many families cannot afford to take their families to things that cost money. This is a great way for the church to meet the community needs. That was what one man said to them. Also, there was a lady asked me why we are doing this giving free food. I said it is in the name of Jesus that we do this. And I share that to you because I want you to also feel the benefits of doing what we are doing out there. And it is we do it free to the community because Jesus did that for us on the cross. It was completely free. And that is what we want to portray to the community, that we're not about money. We're about giving Jesus to them. Also, I want to share with you, there was a girl there that Brian had some contact with. He introduced me to her, but I stayed away because I didn't want to scare her. Many of you know who I am, so I stay away. No, just kidding. So Brian introduced me to her, and we were talking for a little bit, and long story short, it comes out that her daughter comes to the before and after, and our church has been in some contact with her. We have helped her out with some finances, Bowmansville Church has. Needless to say all of that, she is planning on starting to come to Flowing Waters, so I would ask you to pray for this girl, that we can be the support that she needs. I think she's tried everything else but Jesus, and my hope and prayer is that one day we will have her in this congregation with her children along with her. So I thank you for before and after, for maybe not understanding what all you do. You may not reap the benefits, but I want to share that with you because God is moving, and what you're doing in before and after is making a difference, and eventually God is going to show us them fruits because of our obedience by doing what he has called us to do. So once again, I just thank you, and you can continue to pray for us as we plan next year for June. We're planning on the second weekend of June again next year if things work out, and we want to have this as a yearly basis thing. Also, I would ask you to pray for Tyler Zimmerman. In September, we are planning on starting up another group that will, we haven't figured out where they're going to meet yet, but that is going to be the group that after they come out of Elevate, that he would continue to step along with them. And then after they're through that group, they would be opened up to Flowing Waters or wherever they want to go. So just keep Tyler in your prayers also. Thank you.
So I want to bring your attention to another announcement that's in the bulletin. The big Backyard Bash will be held in 2 weeks on June 26th at the Bowmansville Park. This event is planned for the community by Pine Grove Church. We will be participating in your donations of individual servings of the following are needed. Walmart brand is fine. Pretzels, chips, popcorns, tasty cakes, Little Debbie's, things like that. And they are due by next week. It's 2 weeks from now is the Big Backyard Bash, but next week is when the donations are due. It says, a few volunteers will be needed to help with the food stand. Contact Tammy Becker if you're available. And the donations can be brought to the church here and placed in the kitchen. Please clearly mark the items for the BBB, or they will probably be eaten by the YG. So you can stand to receive this blessing. No matter where you're at in your personal spiritual fitness, God bless you this week as you exercise spiritually. Go in peace.